Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Well, as you know, Steve's got a baby coming in December. And
I do?
Yeah, I don't know if you know this. Yeah.
Who's the father? I'll find out for you. I think it's Darth Vader.
Nice.
And the struggle you're going to have as your little daughter gets older is, like, when is the right time to let her have electronics, stuff like that, cell phones, whatever. It's always a battle for families.
I did have a panic attack when we first found out we were having a kid, and I was like, well, we got to get her a cell phone. And my wife was laughing. She's like, we have a couple of years to worry about that. It's like, you're right. I don't need to be sweating, like, cell phones and cars just yet.
Well, you can never be too sure, because there's this 13-year-old kid in Arizona. His name is Austin. He asked his mom for a smartwatch last Christmas, which, of course, you go, 13, Mike. I mean, which by that age, technology should be something that kids have, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But still, I could see some parents going, I don't know. Well, turns out it was the smartest decision that mom ever made, because that smartwatch ended up saving little Austin's life. He was watching TV this summer, and the smartwatch told him, hey, dude, your heart rate, it's pretty high, 219 beats per minute. He noticed that on his smartwatch. Yeah, that was nuts. So his mom was like, okay, maybe we got to take you to the doc. She did, found out Austin has a heart condition that could have been deadly. Here they are yapping about this.
Well, it's a smartwatch, and I didn't have one at the time. And a bunch of my friends started getting them, and they look really cool. I started feeling lightheaded, and I looked down at my heart rate, and it said 219.
I knew school was starting next week, and he was getting a little anxious for that, and I thought, maybe it's just anxiety. He had a heart condition called Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome. Jeez. And he was actually born with it. Damn. We were never aware of it.
Whoa.
Man, it's like more than double what your heart rate should be.
Yeah. I mean, for 13 years, he's been Mr. Heart Guy and never knew.
Huh.
Whoa.
Never even heard of that before.
Dude, you know what? There are so many diseases and conditions out there that we don't even know about. It's amazing. I mean, and the smartwatch actually made it happen. He was able to monitor that. Wow. How do you not want to get a smartwatch for every child you have now?
The minute that baby comes out.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Are you cutting the umbilical cord? No. Put my Apple Watch on her.
Yeah. Damn, dude. And so we talked about technology and what is the right age. So let me ask you, Steve.
Okay.
Because, you know, you've got some time. What do you think is the right age to get little Miglet, about to be born in December? What's the right age to get her a cell phone?
Oh, I'm guessing somewhere between 27 to 30 years old.
Oh, you're very
close.
Yeah, right? You're very, very close.
Seems about right.
Yeah. I was expecting like months at that point.
Yeah, you know what? They talk to a bunch of people and they don't agree with you.
You know, my first instinct would be probably like 11 or 12, just to have something for emergency purposes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Nice
I don't
guess, 11
I have
or 12.
No idea what happens.
Danny, what about Lily? Your little one, she's 4 years old. When do you think you're going to have to get her a cell phone?
No, probably by 10.
Oh, okay. 10.
Yeah, right. I feel like I was on the board, like on like more of thinking like, 13. But then I took her to school, and especially she's like, Dad, I want to start walking myself to school. And I was like, No, number one. And two, okay, if you're going to be this age now, it's your four, I can just imagine by the time she's seven, she's going
to... It's so funny because at 6 years old, we were walking ourselves to school. I mean, the first couple of days, sure, they walked us to first grade. But then I remember me and all my buddies, we went to school by ourselves all the time. Isn't that nuts? I mean, there's no way at 6 years, 7 years old, people are letting their kids go by themselves.
I mean, yeah, all through elementary school, walked. High school, junior high. I mean, it was just
and you were in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a tough place to walk through town, I would say it would be Brooklyn, New York back when you were growing up.
Oh, absolutely. But it was just like, mom's like, okay, see you when you get done with school. Like,
peace out, Steven.
Yeah, there was no way to reach them until you got home.
If he dies, he dies.
That's great. That's not what my mom said.
Are you sure? Because I think your dad might have said that.
All right. I love you, Steven.
Vicky, how about Prince Migs, your foster child? When do you think that little guy's going
to... I think... Nowadays, and it doesn't even have to be a smartphone. I think he's going to get a cell phone probably even before he's 10. I'm thinking 8 or 9.
Oh, so you're not... Dude, I think the only thing... That's all that's going to be around by the time. And you figure in 10 years, 10 to 12 years... I mean, are you going to get a non-smartphone? That's all that's going to be around, right?
You know, they used to have these little... They're specifically made for kids. Yeah. And they only called, like, 911 and your parents.
Yeah.
I think they were, like, Cricket cell phones or something. I think something like that would be perfect.
Not being able to get on the internet in some way, shape, or form is probably going to stunt them, though. I mean, by the time they're in first, second grade, they're going to need to have Wi-Fi access to where the schools are. I don't even know if they're going to use books anymore, really.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Yeah, it's crazy, but it's so true. One person says, my stepson just turned 9. We got him an iPod, so he could text and call us over Wi-Fi, and he has his own screen for games.
Yeah. Okay. So, dude, Joey Deez and I both witnessed a 3-year-old get on the Apple Store, download what he wanted, install it, play it, 3 years old. The kid was navigating amazingly. So I feel like this survey saying 12 to 16 years old is when most average American parents feel like that's when you should get your kid a smartphone. I think that's way too old if you're waiting beyond 13.
So now I'm thinking like 4 or 5 years old, I should get a cell phone?
Basically.
I'll have to stay in mind when I get a new one.
At least some sort of electronics so they can be familiar with the idea.
Well, that old football game that was a handheld football
game. Oh, the Coleco?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
whatever that was called.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, you know what? You'll always know where she is.
So it says both of my boys got their first iPhones at 6 years old. They have to walk to school.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I mean, 4% of the people think, before they turn 10, they should have it. And there are, though, 8% of the people think, no, they got to wait till they're 18 years old. I hate to say this, but you're a Luddite. You can't do that.
That's an old school way of thinking.
That's got to be that's got to be somewhere in the middle of Nowheresville, USA, because no major metropolitan city could do that.
Well,
you can't do that in a city.
I would say even at that point, it's better for their careers, like in the future, if they know how to operate a cell phone when they go into the workforce. I'm just saying, like, you need a cell phone. You need to know how to use social medias for a lot of jobs these days.
You're right, Danny.
I don't know how hard it's going to be. I don't know if we need to start training them at a young age to figure out how to tweet.
Oh, listen to this.
No, but
guy.
I'm saying if you don't have a cell phone by the time you're 18.
I can't wait. I can't wait for Steve to have this child.
Dude, if they can't figure it out within an hour, maybe they just don't deserve to own one.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, wow.
I mean,
I cannot wait. Oh, this is going to be so much fun. Just the years of you going, I thought I knew what I was doing, and
I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to do the best of my abilities.
What do you guys think of?
That's all you can do.
Is that all you can do?
I trust Steve.
Thank you, Eddie.
I made it this far, mostly.
Yay.
Wow.
What do you guys think of this as like a in-the-middle kind of situation? So there's some companies like VTech that make actual cell phones for kids, and they can send text, voice messages, photos, drawings, animated stickers over Wi-Fi to their parents or anybody on their approved contact list, and you can preload it with a bunch of games, but they're all learning games.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, I mean, it looks kind of like an iPhone. It's just really big, so they can hold it.
I know that.
I think that's a good like middle ground.
I know that Xfinity has a cool feature where it shuts down the Wi-Fi after a certain amount of time.
Yeah,
like for I don't know if it shuts it down to like the kid's phone or you know what I for me I have multiple networks. So like if I tell my kid you can only get on this network, here's the password, and then that network shuts down like at 8 p.m. and then I still have access to Wi-Fi, but my kids don't.
I think it's like you can see all the devices connected to your Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's
and you
cool.
can
shut
say
it
nope,
down.
Shut it down.
I love that plan.
Someone said my kids are getting phones at 12. They're welcome to use mine in the house, but computers and tablets and stuff, but they won't have a phone until I feel that they're responsible enough to have it. And I think 12, middle school, that's the right age.
Okay. I don't know what they're going to do with a phone that you couldn't do with any Wi-Fi device in the house, really. I mean, you can get in trouble on any social network anywhere with just an iPad or a computer. You can do it. I don't know what the phone does.
I think the phone makes sense if you're sending your kid off to walk somewhere without you having supervision of them. Like, you know, school or something along those lines. It's like, okay, here's a phone. God forbid anything happens, call us.
Yeah, the phone part, I think, is the thing that isn't the problem.
No, you're right. It's the apps.
Yeah, it's all the internet access stuff and social network access stuff, which they can get without actually having a phone. If you're going to let them play on a computer at home, I need to talk to some of these parents. That's all I have to say.
I'm supposed to say, guys, VTech was busted for having an unsecured network and children's photos, names, and addresses were leaked.
Okay, then.
Maybe not.
So much for that idea, Vicky.
Ooh, yeah.
This just in from the news website, usnewswebsite.org. Vicky Dion's Pizza, part of a Russian hacking ring. Yeah.
Well, the leak happened back in 2015. I'm sure they're perfectly safe.
On her 30th birthday, Vicky was revealed to get millions of dollars by hacking into children's phones.
It took until her 30th for us to realize that we work with a terrorist.
A terrorist!
Right?
You know what? Think about it, though.
They're all innocently saying, you should try this company called VTech.
Yeah. I'm not an investor. Not at all. All right. So, this is cool news. The overwhelming majority of businesses do not make people dress up anymore. I mean, everybody's becoming like Seattle. I think people came here, saw that we've got the chillest dress code in the country, which is, I mean, it is. I mean, when I first moved here 20 years ago, I couldn't believe how chill you could be in any place you wanted to go to. I've never been to Canlis, so I don't know. I think they do at least make you wear a jacket.
Yeah, you have to have a sports coat on, apparently.
Most other places that serve fine food, like the Metropolitan Grill, for instance, I mean, you can just walk in with a button down. Yeah, whatever, you have a t-shirt, and you can get great food, and you don't got to dress up. And now the rest of the country's catching up. 26% of people say they work somewhere that's considered business casual, and about a third of us work somewhere that's just casual, and how about one in five of us are lucky, they work at a place with zero dress code. And it's funny when I see people in our building and what they're wearing, and it's like, yeah, I mean, I know they're professionals because they're in the elevator with me riding up to the floor they got to go to. And it's like, you know, one dude was in a Star Trek t-shirt, just going where he was going.
I thought he was dressed as like a Star Trek character.
That'd
I was like,
great.
Where can I, where is that and why can't we visit them?
Yeah, I want to dress up like a Wookiee. Can
you
I go
can
to that job?
Here.
Yeah, you really can.
Nobody's going to get mad at you if you dress up as a Wookiee here.
That is pretty amazing.
I don't know. Do you think it's the Seattle thing or it's just... the times have just changed, and I think it's kind of like that elsewhere as well.
I think the times have changed, Steve, but I think we're the forefront. I think we're the forerunners.
We're the trendsetters.
Yeah,
there's the grunge thing, man. Everyone realizes it's cool just to wear ripped jeans and
hold on a second.
Oh.
Ripped jeans, Steve? Still off limits.
Oh.
Yeah. The survey says, though, about 73% of us think, yeah, those are still not good in the office.
What about some of those expensive, fancy ripped jeans?
That's the problem.
Right.
Because you know they're, I mean, if a woman walks in with ripped jeans, you know she paid big bucks for those as opposed to she's just got a pair of ratty jeans. I'm not sure you can judge that anymore because it's what's considered high couture. Some of those ripped jeans. And you can spend, what? $500 for a pair of ripped jeans is ridiculous.
Oh,
yeah,
easily. Yeah. You go to Nordstrom, there's all different. I mean, I remember one time buying a pair, and they weren't like $500, but they were more than what I usually would spend on jeans, and they had a rip in them. And I was like, okay, I'll give this a whirl. And
I'll try what these kids are doing.
Give this a whirl.
Right? But here's the problem. I get dressed sometimes in the dark, or I'm super tired, and I remember putting my leg through the pants, and my big-ass fat toe, where ran that little rip, and as I pulled, it just ripped the jean.
$500, well spent.
Not $500, more like, you know, $80, but still more than I wanted to spend on jeans.
Yeah.
And after that, I was like, I'm never buying ripped jeans.
Yeah, I wouldn't either after that.
Yeah. Like especially that toe of yours, you can make them.
Right.
Damn, dude.
Oh, so
that
pissed.
Sucks. That so sucks. Yeah,
I don't think they take returns on stupidity.
No, they don't
think they do.
No.
Why are you returning this? Because I'm stupid.
I'm just kind of dumb. It's dark and I have a big rippy toe. Also, leggings. Half of us think you shouldn't wear leggings in the workplace.
Dude, okay. Good luck telling people that.
Yep, I'm wearing them right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let me see what you got for leggings.
Oh,
those are leggings, huh? Okay.
And they have holes in them.
Yeah, Vicky's got her knees sticking out.
They banned those at my girlfriend's workplace. She works
leggings?
With kids with school. Yeah, she cannot wear it. She has to wear jeans. or something.
Is it because the leggings are too form-fitting?
I think so.
See, I would expect that you wear a long top. I mean,
that's what I'm doing.
You still can't do it.
Really? Any even with a leggings, long top?
Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, you could show leg. Why can't you show leggings? Like, if you wore a skirt, I mean, you see naked leg. What's wrong with something covering the leg as long? I can see if you've got, like, the yoga pants, like the Lululemons, and you see a fine backside, which Lululemons is the greatest creation ever. It makes almost every woman look amazing. It's unbelievable. And, yeah, I can see if you show that off, that's bad. I get it.
What about tank tops? I was thinking about that. Like, it'd be fun to be able to come to work wearing tank tops.
Yeah, it's not on the list, but I'm telling you.
Can you imagine if, like, one of us just showed up and we had a tank top on? I think people would be like, what the F's going on?
I'm wearing a tank top, but I'm wearing a sweater.
But you're, I don't know why, but like,
you're
for
a
female.
It's okay. I mean, it's better because you're not hairy, like, or if you are, you'll at least shave. I mean, there's nothing grosser than a guy.
So if I wax my body, is that okay?
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean,
please wax.
The guy that's basically like shag carpeting out of every hole of that tank top is so gross.
Man, I feel called out.
I still think we got to do tank top Tuesdays.
No, tank top Tuesdays?
No, we don't.
I'm in.
Next summer.
Let's do it.
How about this? High heels over 3 inches. Those, half of us go, no, don't wear the sex pumps.
So my 6-inch stilettos, that's not cool.
I mean, they make your ass look great.
That's
probably not professional.
Yeah. It's good for my calves, too.
And open-toed shoes, thank you. Even though 60% of us say it's okay, no, they're not. Do not show off your nasty feet in the workplace.
How about my Crocs? Because they have the holes in them, but they're not technically open-soled.
No. I say you wear them, Rev. They're comfortable.
Nice.
And I think when they think open-toed shoes, they're also thinking heels and peep-toe shoes.
Or sandals, you know,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
It's again, that thing where if a lady does it, it's not as bad than if a dude
does
it.
Oh, I agree. Because women will go out, they'll get the pedicures, they'll get it done right. But I mean, I don't see some guy's toe hammer action. And we had that intern
that you had me have to talk to.
Yeah, I was like, get the hell out of here with your stupid sandals. It's a workplace. Put a shoe on.
So this is a guy at work that all he wears is basketball shorts, a t-shirt every day with sandals. And he keeps wondering why he's never been promoted. The way he presents himself does not help his case.
Dude, I know people think it shouldn't be that way. Even when you're dressing casual, there are guys that know how to do it, that they still look amazing. I mean, you know, and that is the key. You still got to look like you got it. You're buying decent clothes and you're not just a schlub. And the Rev is, I have never seen the Rev. I've seen you in different outfits. I mean, only when we go like to a fancy event do I ever see the Rev outside of a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would I dress up here?
And he wears those cargo shorts from 1995.
No, not 1995. It's like
2007.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, right about there.
Yeah.
I got rid of the camo ones.
Oh, good for you, buddy.
Well, I ripped the ass, so I haven't bought
any. Oh, that's why you get rid of them. Oh, you can get that for $500 at Nordstrom if you really want it.
Yeah. I think you just got to, I mean, you know, you got to know your lane if you want to be successful. If you don't care, well, people just judge you by how you look, whether you like it or not, just how it is in life.
Especially if you're going to work in athletic shorts and sandals and a t-shirt.
Yeah, I mean, what do you expect?
That just shows that you really put zero effort into getting ready.
And they'll imagine that you'll put zero effort in any big, important job. They know you can do the job you're doing, but they're not going to trust you with anything above that because, well, look at yourself.
Well, it's interesting when we have gone to really nerdy businesses, whether it's a video game company or whatever, everyone is dressed very casually. And they still get their jobs done. They're the kind of people that they're pretty high up in their company, and they just dress very comfortable, and everyone respects
that.
But
they look good still, Vicky. They know how to coordinate. I mean, some of their outfits, if you look at them, they're not cheap outfits, at least some of the management people I've met.
Okay.
I mean, the ones that are really like, at least in the world of board gaming, I've encountered some folks in board gaming who are close to my age or in their 40s. They're casual, but if you look at the clothes they have, they're good clothes. You know, they're some of the high brand names. They're not just like, you know, going to some discount store and just throwing crap on.
I mean, if you're wearing like a casual shirt from Walmart or a fancy store, like I feel like it's the same thing. It doesn't for me, brands don't matter.
Quality's the same. Not to put down Walmart, I mean, but no, Walmart's price
actually,
point
Walmart has some pretty cool, like they're upping the game in clothes.
And it's a great place to get floaties.
Look,
yes,
I'm going to tell you this, and this is not taking a shot at Walmart. If you're buying something for $20 and you're buying something for $70, there is a quality difference. Now, it doesn't mean you can't go, but I mean, you can tell the difference, and you want to know that the CEO of a company at least knows how to dress.
What if he's
good
the CEO
quality.
Of Walmart?
Oh, believe me, the CEO of Walmart, unless they're trying to look like they're cool and buy their own clothes, you're not going to see the CEO in Walmart not in something like, you know, high couture. I mean, they got to go talk to people. You know, cool. It's like the CEO of Apple and the CEO of, you know, Microsoft and the CEO of, you know, Steve Incorporated. Yeah.
This guy says you guys sound like a bunch of prudes. This is where the world's going when people think tank tops are inappropriate. What the F, guys? From DB in Tacoma.
DB, look, I don't care. I judge a person by the person. But unfortunately, the world looks at somebody. And here's the one thing you have to understand. If you don't give an F about a certain thing, people think there's a great chance in your life that you will not give an F about other things. They call it the little things. If you can't do the little things right, they're not going to trust you with the big things, because more often times than not, you will not be good at the big things. It doesn't mean you aren't going to be the outlier, but more often times than not, if you look like an idiot, they're going to go, we can't trust them. It just sucks. And you're just going to have to make that adjustment if you want to go further than where you are. Hey, if you're happy with where you are, with your T-shirt and your job, and you're having a great life.
And your socks that have wings on them.
Yeah. Hey, listen, those socks, those socks make a statement. Granted, I wore them in the wrong setting.
That you can run faster than people?
You know what? If I'm around the geek crowd, I get a lot of cred for those Captain America socks. That's all I'm saying. All right, fine. Leave me alone. Okay. Try to help out people.
I'm sure you've changed the lives of tens of people today.
Business people know what I'm talking about. All right, we got this well-known comic that went off on the audience because they were using their cell phones. We've got the audio. You're going to hear it at 8:17 on the
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rock.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. I'm telling you, dude, I am having a hard time making excuses for Pete Davidson anymore. I really like the dude. I like his style of comedy. I think he's super talented. But every time outside of his performance, he just seems to come off as so unlikable. And this one actually happened during a performance.
It's funny because I'm on the opposite end. I think the guy's an idiot. And I keep trying to find reasons not to think he's an idiot and give him the benefit of the doubt, because I know he's battled some stuff. And I feel for a dude that's battling whatever he's battling. But then he does stuff that continues to remind me, oh, Pete Davidson is a giant idiot.
Yeah, he went off on an audience. And if you know who Pete Davidson is, he's a big character on SNL. He also was in the Motley Crue movie, played the record rep for them. Yeah. So, Pete's very talented. I mean, a lot of people love his stuff. And also, he's been in some high-profile relationships, including Ariana Grande. And, he was doing a show in Florida, and he went off on an audience. It was a Florida college show. And he went off on them because they were using their cell phones. He called them, quote, privileged little a-holes. He went on with the show, but people who were there say he wasn't funny. That's not good. Here's a clip of him being annoyed with the crowd.
So, like, whenever somebody else comes to your town and wants to perform and is exhausted and flies all the way to the middle of nowhere to do jokes to you, little privileged little don't ruin the show for people who actually want to be here. That's why the world is going to end in 25 years. You're going to roll over. Yeah, I make it that way. Idiots. You should grow up.
Now, see, it's hard for me to tell if that's not, like, part of his act, like, just sort of ridiculing. I don't know. I don't know enough about Pete Davidson to know. I just don't know, because some people were laughing, but it's so hard to know if he was really serious and just lost it, or if that's what he does to people as a heckling thing, or when he sees them on the phones. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not I'm never going to go see Pete Davidson live. Even when he's on his A-game, I don't think it's entertaining, personally, but it sounds like he's just annoyed, and there's a lot of awkward laughing going on because you're at a comedy show, so you're expecting this guy's going to make you laugh.
Yeah.
And so I think some people have that awkward giggle going on right now.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too. It's like, what else are you going to do? You're like, okay, is he mad? Is this an act? Okay, it's not funny. Oh.
So he's at a college. I think that's Generation Z now. know, so he's a millennial and and he may be an older millennial who's just like doesn't understand that this is what's people have their phones.
I think the older millennials are now 40. He's actually at the tail end because I think the younger millennials are like 23, 24, and he's 25.
Hmm. Pete Davis is only 25.
25.
So why
for
doesn't
such a young man? He's an old soul of stupidity.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta look. It sucks.
But there's a no cell phone policy, I guess, at the show. Which,
okay,
yeah,
I didn't know
so
that.
He was, I think annoyed by that. But then he's also calling people the R word and just.
Oh, he was really using the R word.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, wow.
So.
Okay.
Man,
he's got to know that the R word. Unless he's trying to really be. Why would you do that? Everybody knows you. Look, I'm from Massachusetts, and that was an adjective for everything growing up. The R word. But now, even I know you just can't use it anymore. Why is he doing it?
Yeah, he said he was going on this whole rant because a few people were recording and started yelling and how we need to grow up and that we're R words and bitches. And then he was mad because nobody was laughing. You could feel the tension and how uncomfortable it was.
What is that? You know, it's so funny. I did stand-up comedy for a long time. I was doing both early in my career when I was about Pete's age. And you never blamed the audience for not laughing. You just knew you were bombing and you knew you sucked and you had to figure it out.
Oh, I always
thought of blaming the audience.
Oh, I've been to like open mics especially. It's when someone's not laughing, the comic then will be like, well, clearly you're not intelligent enough to understand why that's funny or something like that. Like they get butthurt because this awesome joke that they wrote wasn't connecting.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's case by case. You don't know. Wow. And that's probably part of the excitement as a comic is that you're going out there throwing these things out that you think are funny. And if it works, it's probably the highest of all highs.
It is.
But when it doesn't work, it's the lowest of all lows.
Oh, dude. It's so true. Dude, it is bipolar highs and lows out there. And I know from experience, it's borderline unhealthy because the first time I did open mic, somehow, some way, people were drunk enough. My jokes were landing properly. I thought this is going to be my career forever. It was the first time I got in front of a crowd and I killed. And I remember everybody getting off stage, even like the professionals were like, dude, that is not, good job. Next week I go out and do the same act.
Bombs.
And then,
oh, brutal.
And the host was the host said, well, dude, now you know what it's like. But, you know, he said, keep working. You got him last week, so you know you have the ability to get him, but keep working at it. But never once did I blame the crowd. I just knew it's like, I'm doing something wrong. I got to figure it out.
Yeah, he's got to keep moving forward.
Damn, dude.
I don't understand the whole Pete Davidson thing, man. I don't get it. I know he's popular on Saturday Night Live, and I just don't get him.
You know, well, you could be, I hate to say it, could be past you.
Well, apparently a bunch of college kids also did not get it because he was not funny to them.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing, that style of humor. His style of humor surely isn't the whole, I'm going to be rolling on the floor. You know, it's not the typical style. But I just don't know this idea of just, if he's got mental health issues, and look, I'm empathetic and sympathetic to that because I've got my own.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you've got to go get help. You can't expect people to deal with your a-hole behavior when we now all know that's like, look, dude, you told us you got issues. If you're being an a-hole to people, that means you're not addressing your issues. You need to address your issues. You got money. Go take care of it. You can't go just S all over people and then use that as the excuse. You just can't. You know, you got to figure it out. You can't be treating people badly, especially people that pay good money to see a show.
And why didn't you do what Chappelle and Rogan, like, they locked your phones, right, Rev?
Yeah.
They got worried about cell phones.
They gave you a pouch, and then you just put it in it, and
it's a great idea.
If you needed to use it, you could go to a special area, and then they just all got unlocked at the end if you didn't need to use it.
And I think it's a great idea, because I think that recording a comic and people putting stuff on YouTube out of context is not good.
Exactly, and that's one of the big problems they have, because the shows are funny and within that context, but if you have like a 15 to 45 second clip that doesn't have all the setups or anything like that, they're gonna sound horrible.
Speaking of Chappelle, I guess he just released a new special on Netflix.
Sticks and Stones, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I heard he took a deep dive into some other like controversial performers.
That's what I've heard. I haven't seen it yet.
I got to watch this. I just heard about this dropping myself, so I got to check this out because I guess he's kind of coming to the defense of Louis C.K. and
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Where he cracks jokes about it.
Yeah, so.
It sounds like a lot of what he's doing on the national show, because he brought those things up as well at ours.
Joey Deez, have you seen it already? Oh, come on in and tell us what you think. I didn't even know it was out, and Joey Deez has already seen it.
It kind of got dropped for a lot of people who were very surprised by it coming out. But everything I'm seeing on social media, people are saying it's brilliant. It's super funny.
Well, you know, the fact that Dave Chappelle is the guy, you know, here's the thing. He's a guy that gets to talk about certain things in life that, frankly, white people don't get to talk about because, you know what, white people haven't walked in other people's shoes. And so I think with Chappelle, it's great if he comes and speaks out about certain things because he gets to. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, he has had a different life than, I would say, me as a white dude. I've never had any problems with anything. I've been able to go through every door I wanted to go through.
Dude, it's awesome. It's about an hour long, but it's dark. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point Netflix has to pull it just because of all the people getting angry over it.
Really?
I better watch it today then.
Can you somehow talk about the subject matter without that? Like, what's the dark
I'm reading some of the stuff he said about Michael Jackson.
Yeah, you can't really.
Oh, really?
There's no way to go around it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I mean, I think it's part of, like, it's so dark that it probably it makes people feel so uncomfortable they have to laugh. Because I mean, it's all in how he says it, obviously. But I'm not going to read what he said. I'm absolutely not going to. I'm not going down that road.
But it's definitely gallows humor, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think he's serious. I think he's just, you know what, taking the darkest of moments of humanity and joking about it.
Like, hearing him say it might be one thing.
Yeah.
And how he says it, because it's probably an aura of sarcasm. But reading it on paper, not touching it.
It's a bold move. I mean, it is a bold move to say what he said. I can see somebody
He cares, though.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about being Dave Chappelle.
He's set financially for
zero
life.
F's given with that guy.
He's not doing anything to harm people, like as an actual human being. So if his comedy is upsetting some people, he probably doesn't care.
Yeah, and I will tell you this. Is that one statement about Michael Jackson, and well, he goes into, you know, the horrible things that Michael Jackson's alleged of. There is a piece in there that I can understand when it comes to art. It's a commentary on people that will hang around stars, even if it's detrimental to them or their children, because people don't care. They want to be around stars. And you think of the parents that maybe expose their children to the King of Pop, and you go, yeah, did you ever think at all maybe that you should be on the lookout, or were you too starstruck to care what was going on, and maybe your kids suffered because of it? I love that maybe that's a little commentary in that particular line. That's how I read it as a guy that goes for art.
Yeah, he gets into a lot of stuff, but I think his overall point is that comedy is kind of lost on people now because everyone wants to not be touched. They don't want to be yelled at or anything like that. So every different community gets mad if you make a joke about anything, because he talks about comedians, the LGBT community, you know, everything, like Michael Jackson, Kevin Hart, Louis C.K., Anthony Bourdain gets brought up, and
he better watch his mouth. Yeah. I'm kidding. I don't care about Anthony Bourdain.
And he goes, it's funny, because some people laugh at some stuff, but then you make fun of a different group, and they get really mad about it.
Right. Everyone's fine with things until it offends them, and then all of a sudden, it's like that with anything. So it's always funny until it's about you, or it bothers you.
Yeah, I can laugh at your problems, but you're a jerk when you make fun of my problems.
Yeah, and he kind of goes over the point with cell phones, where he goes, you know, when the people that get mad at him come to his shows, they record him, and then they put him on blast and search up his internet history, or, you know, something he did 10 years ago, and then they, like, essentially ruin the guy's career, and they do it to everyone now. And he goes, when you're a comedian, you don't know what you can and can't make fun of, because you don't know how far the boundary goes for some people.
It is so true, because people don't understand that basically art changes as the decades go by, and what was acceptable 30, 40 years ago isn't now, but it's tough to judge people 30 or 40 years ago, because at the time it was acceptable, and you got to put the whole society on blast, not just that one performer, because everybody was laughing at those shows. That's what kills me. You'll see a performer's routine from that many years ago. The crowd is hysterical, but the comedian's a bad guy? What about everybody laughing at it? I mean, that's just where people were.
And I'm reading a couple tweets, what people are saying about it. And one person said, look, some of the stuff he talked about, that happened to me. And guess what? I laughed, because we all process pain differently. So some people don't ever want to hear, you know, if something bad happened, they don't want to hear that word or whatever. But then there's other people that, like, make fun of it, that use gallows humor to get past that painful event in their life.
Exactly, Vicky. And there's nothing wrong with using humor to self-soothe. That doesn't mean you condone anything, and it doesn't mean you still can't be a fighter and change what's wrong in the world. Don't lose your love and don't lose your laughter while you're fighting the good fight, which a lot of people do.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for some people if they're hurting a lot. You know, I mean, that's, I think, what it is. But I don't know, for me, like, when I see someone say something that I view to be offensive, I'm like, yeah, I'm just not going to watch that or not deal with that.
You're making your own choices?
I don't go on this crusade to try and have someone, you know, if they're not hurting someone as a person, like, it's like, well, if that's the way they want to do their art, like,
Are you sure you don't want to come to my house and make sure that I can't watch it either? Are you sure about that?
I don't care if you watch it or not.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, it's just
what
not,
kind of an American are you?
I don't know, man.
Jeez. I'm a little disappointed. I've learned a lot about you
today.
Maybe
I should start doing that.
Yeah, I mean.
Maybe if that's my new thing. I just want to get people fired for things.
Yeah, let's just do
everything.
Oh, yeah,
go to a restaurant. If I hear someone say something, I'm like, where do you work?
Oh, yeah, dude.
I saw that you didn't tip enough. I'm going to call your boss.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. There was a woman that, you know, accidentally said something really goofy about, I guess it was a gorilla in the zoo and her coworker who happened to be an African-American. And she basically was like tears going, I'm an idiot, I'm stupid.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the dude actually was like, look, I know her. I love her. We're good friends. I forgive her. And people still want her fired. And it's like, if the person that actually was insulted is able to forgive, what the F is wrong with everybody else that weren't even involved?
Right.
I don't, this is what I don't understand. I don't understand. And you want to ruin the whole woman's career when the person at the epicenter of the thing is like, dude, she's awesome. She was just, you know,
and
whatever.
If you watch it, you can tell her heart, she was broken by it.
Yeah. And it's just like
she, that's all that you hope is that someone view something as a learning experience. I don't know if necessarily need to be fired and have your career be done because you screwed up.
Yeah, look in the mirror that you want to give somebody a career death penalty that you're so upset about it. That means you don't forgive. And I don't understand it because I thought that we had a lot of religion in this country and religion teaches you to basically, you know, you're accountable, you're contrite, and then you're forgiven if you do the apology. What the F? I don't know what people are basing this crap on, but it's surely nothing that I know about, no philosophy I've ever heard of. Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
What river separates Maryland and Virginia?
What?
What river separates...
Mississippi.
No.
Missouri.
No.
Kwai.
No.
Steve, the Missouri usually is a good guess. But
I'm offended.
Yeah, the Kwai is
my boss and have me fired for that.
Yeah, you really should. I mean, if you don't know the Potomac, maybe you know what? I know what it is. It's because you're a Potomacist.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. You just, you know what? You
just ignorant. I'm just an ignorant man, doing ignorant things.
Ignorant man doing ignorant things. We need to get new business cards, Vicky. I think that should be on his card.
An ignorant man doing ignorant things.
You want a shot at beating Steve? You got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. How do I know if bankruptcy is going to provide me with relief? What are the steps for my situation?
There's so much information out there about bankruptcy with the internet and what people have heard from friends and other people that they've talked to about their financial issues or bankruptcy. There's also a lot of bad information out there or urban legends about bankruptcy. In order to determine whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, you need to talk to an attorney that's experienced in bankruptcy. So in order to determine whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, you should talk to an experienced bankruptcy attorney. And right, my job is not to convince you to file bankruptcy. My job is to help you to make that decision and have all the facts so that you can make an informed decision about whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, what benefits it's going to have for you, and what the downside of filing bankruptcy is.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.